Today's episode of Distorted View features additional content for Sideshow members only. Ting!
It's created problems in family! Brothers have been so put down, can't get a job! Whoever you point at, you got something wrong with your life! Something wrong with that! It ain't natural!
Sextastic Tuesday.
Fucking stick my little finger in my fucking dickhole.
That thing ain't got no feeling in it!
Beat your dick. With them fucking bouncing balls.
It's destroying us!
Eat that ass, bitch!
No wonder your behind is bleeding!
How are you with Lil Jon? Lil Jon?
Yeah.
Your butt ain't made for that!
Jack that fucker up!
Slap some grease on your behind!
Fuck me!
Everybody in here got something wrong with them, and both of them ugly.
Your head.
It takes a screw and a nut! And another screw?
Hey, freaks, it's Tuesday, June 15th, 2010. Coming up on the program today, Ass and Puppies. Plus, stupid children drinking PCP. And why are all of the library books covered in white, creamy meowness? It's a condiment caper. All of this, plus a brand new edition of Sextastic Tuesday on an extended episode of Distorted View Daily.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Yes, Tim Henson with you. This right here is Distorted View Daily. If you are new to the program, let me explain to you what I'm all about. I laugh at the misery of others. I'm a sucker for other people's pain. I've got a soft spot in my heart for gruesome death and the sound of bodily fluids, whether it be piss, shit, or cum farts. Not only makes my dig gear hard, but it makes me grow stronger and more powerful. I feed off of shit dick. So that's pretty much me. Nice to meet you. If you can get past all of that, we're going to be great friends. Got a great program for you today. It is Tuesday, which means we've got Sextastic Tuesday on deck. On deck like the steaming pile of crap that it is. No, Sextastic Tuesday is a great little bit. Basically, I search out for horribly written or bizarre or just disgusting sex stories. These are not intentionally funny stories. These are real pieces of erotic fiction that, for whatever reason, miss the mark. They're not going to get you off. And today I've got a doozy. Let's not waste any more time. I give you Sextastic Tuesday.
It's sextastic.
Gotta say thanks to DV listener Mary the Obese. M-A-R-I, I guess that's how you pronounce it. Thank you very much, Mary the Obese. This story, unfortunately, does not have a name, so we'll just start off here. There are things that parents say, friends, rhetorical questions, emphatic statements, you know. For many, their popularity grows and wanes, teeters and totters, on the brink of genius and truth and longevity. This author really thinks highly of himself, like he's a literary genius. So that's why, this is how I really think he wants it to be read. There is one that seems to be thrown about a lot these days, and from what I can tell, days before these tossed into dirty streets and out car windows and onto turkey dinners. What the fuck is he talking about? Get to the hot woman on dog sex or whatever the hell we're going to be doing here. A colloquialism we've all heard, maybe even given a little thought to. It's what people say when gay people get married or cancer is made fun of. Is nothing sacred? And the answer, my friend, is no. Nothing is sacred. Which leads me to my story. It was the lingerie. The lingerie did it. Oh, definitely the lingerie. Oh, Lord, the lingerie. For precious Taft. I thank the benevolent God for the lingerie, because if the sun existed now, I swear, I'd bash his brains against a goddamn radiator! Wish someone would track down Precious Taft. I would love to interview her. All right, back to the story here. It was the lingerie, definitely the lingerie. Had he not brought it way down there in San Francisco, he would probably be all right. But he had, and she tried it on and looked all pink and frilly and delicious like a fag's couple wedding cake. And so there it was, jealousy pumping through him like an injection of hot motor oil, impossible to ignore. She was gorgeous. It was as if he could smell her even through the windows and car exhaust, peaches and cream, pan-fried in butter and brown sugar. What the hell is this guy saying? From his car, she was an economy of flesh and form, eyes obscured by dark lenses, ears and cheeks cloaked by profoundly black hair. But what was truly on display, bold and flamboyant, told a story of Tolstoy endurance, the lips swollen and tender, the begging neck, the fingers wrapped deliciously around the world's luckiest steering wheel. He couldn't stop staring until he smashed into the car in front of him. Oh my God, are you all right? His nose a throbbing spiderweb of base stimulus pain. Yes, I'm fine. So basically, all that bullshit I just read could be summed up by saying, I saw a pretty girl in a car, and I accidentally ran into the car in front of me because I was staring at the girl I want to fuck hard. And that's exactly what happened here. Now, the girl, whom he was staring at in the rearview mirror, pulled over and helped the man. You're gonna need a witness. Here, take my card. He smiled, puzzled. I can't believe the lady did that, exclaimed the girl. Did what? Reversed her car on the highway and hit you. But she didn't do that. Of course she did, silly. I saw her with my own two eyes. Look, I gotta get to work. Call me in the next couple days. She proved smart, cruel, and cunning. They fell in love and remained that way for several years until he decided to leave. Not her. Everything. Everything else. But from that day on, all was different. No more railing morphine and spending the day in bed. No more highway blowjobs. No more swimming naked in neighbors' pools. It was consenting, uninspired sex, silent dinners, solitary joints. But that's what happens when you leave, brother. Now it's the Hulk reading this story. That's what happens when you leave, brother! Vince McMahon is gonna pay! I don't know. That's what happens when you decide to forsake the shepherd's toll and go it alone. I am so confused with this bullshit. I could have swore these two were going to have nasty sex, and that's where the sextastic part of Sextastic Tuesday was going to come into play, but no. So here's the deal. I don't know what's going on. I believe what happens here in the story is he leaves this woman and is now thinking back at the events that prompted him to leave her. I'm taking a real stab in the dark here because this story is way too thinky for me. All right. The taste in his mouth as he recalled, as best he could, each piece of lingerie she had ever worn already worn. And the horror spread like the unfortunate simile, South African AIDS, infecting everything they loved, hot tub champagne, fellatio, cunnilingus, analingus, intercourse. He dare not even look at the liner tag of their relationship, lest it read, this product made from 100% post-consumer materials. His muscles burned with motor oil. He showered over and over. Ooh, she really did a number on him. And then, but no, it couldn't possibly be, could it? The marriage of 1,000 weddings, puppies and hot air balloons. No, it couldn't. She couldn't have. No, no! How had she even put it? Davy, I love you, she said. She seemed like she meant it. I love you and I want to share something with you. All right, this might be getting good. There was a way she had said it. Was it frozen shit dildo or frozen shit dildo? Oh, it's not important. What is important is the look on her face as she said it. Eyes so wet and wide, lower lip tucked into her teeth. It was all so innocent and pure. Really, when you utter the phrase shit dildo, all that innocence goes right out the fucking window. All right. What is important is the look on her face as she said it. Eyes so wet and wide, lower lip tucked into her teeth. It was all so innocent and pure, as if it were a dream she never dared act out, enabled only by the ethereal love. And this was how he interpreted it at the time. But time is a funny, powerful thing, and mixed with scrutiny alters all. So now he's thinking back and he's saying to himself, what the hell have I done? What did I stick in my ass?
Shit, dildo.
He recalled the precise and thorough instruction she had given. Well, take a wax mold of your cock. Now, the wax is going to be hot and might kill your erection, so I'll finger your ass and tickle your prostate. Don't come, though. It'll spoil the mold. Then, when it's more or less set, you jump in the pool and the wax will harden fully and your little pee-pee will shrivel up and slide right out. She's really thought this through. Smart girl. Then we'll throw it into the freezer, and you'll eat 2 gallons of vanilla yogurt and have some really strong coffee. When the diarrhea comes, you fill up the mold, and we'll toss it back in the freezer. Shitsicles! We're gonna make some fucking shitsicles. Tomorrow night, we'll score it down the middle and break it, leaving a perfect, frozen impression of your beautiful cock and shit. And you'll fuck me with it. No rubber. The frozen shit dildo. Oh, she's gonna get fucked by the dildo, then why the hell did he ever leave her? She sounds like the perfect woman. He then pulled at his stubble with the memory, now several days long. It had always seemed to him that in life, nothing was untouchable. Everything was worthy of ridicule or theft or defacement. But that was before the frozen shit dildo. That changed everything. That was before he had ever experienced anything that was bigger than just himself. That must have been a really massive BM, man! Alright, that was before the frozen shit dildo. That was before he had ever experienced anything that was bigger than just himself, or even him and someone else. And that was how he felt. It was more than him. It was more than her. It was more than them. It was him, her, them, and the frozen shit dildo. Are you kidding me with this? He recalled the look in her eyes as he knelt behind her, cold brown smoothness in hand, joyful knowing expectation. The newborn chick spying her mother's return to the nest. What a way to describe shit. A newborn chick, straight out of the ass, spying her mother's return to the nest. Ugh. The first few thrusts solid and unearthly, the way she arched her back to meet each probing. The lion's moan when it first slid past her wanton labia and filled her. He had never before heard it, certainly not ever when he had breached her banks. And it began to dissolve quickly, quicker than he ever could have anticipated. How soon it was nothing more than a thumb-sized blob that he was plunging inside of her. She climaxed quickly, the fake dick having long lost all form. It was on his jack-hammering fingers that she spewed her ecstasy, a dog belching bubbling chocolate oatmeal. Ta-da! She lay collapsed on the tarp-covered bed a moment, gasping lustily at the warm, moist air. It's gotta smell real good in there. Before she sprung to her knees, smearing some of the surplus waste on his cock and sucking hungrily until he came to. They lay in an expired, guilty heap a long time before he finally spoke. I love you, Jacqueline.
I love you too, Dave.
The shame of fecal-stained sex evaporated as no shit ever could, leaving only a thin, light film. Love. The light. Buttery love of two wayward souls that had fought... This is like a fucking Harlequin romance novel with a little shit added into it. All right, buttery love of two wayward souls that had fought their way through the Earth's gauntlet and found one another, clung to one another like dragonflies in spring. But it was all gone now, and regardless of whether she had done it again or would do it again, it was no longer theirs. It was his. It was hers. It was everyone's now. And so the answer, friends, is no. Nothing is sacred. The end. There you go, Sextastic Tuesday for June 15th, 2010, brought to you by our good friends at AdamandEve.com. I can't believe they're sticking with us. They've been sponsoring DV for quite a while now. I'm surprised. We didn't scare them away. I didn't do anything or say anything that has pissed them off yet. You gotta respect that. If you're thinking about buying lingerie, adult movies, anything of the adult nature, lubes, toys, whatever, why not shop with them and say thank you for supporting DV? They've got a great deal for you as well. If you go to adamandeve.com, you'll get 50% off. That's half off just about any item. You just have to use coupon code FREAK at checkout, F-R-E-A-K. Not only are you going to save 50%, you're also going to then get free shipping, right, with that coupon code. They're also going to throw in 3 free adult DVDs and a bonus gift, all for using coupon code FREAK at adamandeve.com. There's a link on the show notes today, along with stuff that you may be interested in. It's fun to peruse the stuff that does not turn you on as well, because that's kind of funny. Now, I know some people are into hairy pussies. I'm not. If you are, may I suggest Your Mom's Hairy Pussy 9, based on the success of the first 8 movies. What a fucking franchise, right? Here comes Your Mom's Hairy Pussy 9. Vivacious cover mom Olivia Parrish is a pussy pelt-endowed sexual dynamo. She beckons her stud to lick her kitty so she can suck his nuts off. Layla's fur burger is tasty. so is her pogo ride on that hard cock. With Sophia Stax and Sasha Brand, this clocks in at 124 minutes. 124 minutes of huge, hairy bush on DVD. So if you're into that, or into anything, they've got something for everyone at adamandeve.com. Check them out right now. Again, you'll save 50% off by using coupon code FREAK. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, fucking news right now. Today we are rocking an extended show, so if you are sideshow freaks, you're going to get about 10 to 15 minutes of additional content, and of course Thursday's program is going to be exclusive as well. It's a great time to sign up, superfreaksideshow.com. It's only $5 a month or $50 a year. In addition, you'll also get full access to the entire archive of programs. You get a special password-protected RSS feed, so you'll have all of your sideshow content and normal episodes download automatically right to your iTunes or whatever RSS reader you use. Sign up right now, superfreaksideshow.com. All right, three quick stories, and then we will get the hell out of here. First up, should warn you, it's kind of a slow news day today. A young man in Bavaria who reportedly forgot to take his medication taunted a group of Hell's Angels at their clubhouse over the weekend by dropping his pants, bending over, exposing his ass, and throwing a puppy at the bikers, and then making his getaway in a stolen front loader. The 26-year-old drove onto the biker clubhouse grounds on Sunday afternoon, just north of Munich. There, the Munich student pulled down his Bermuda shorts, mooning a group of bikers before throwing a puppy at them. Take that! That's to divert their attention away from him so he can get away. Very smart. That's when the man fled the scene, stopping at an Autobahn construction site to steal a front loader, which he attempted to drive to Munich. But his slow pace caused a 5-kilometer traffic jam. After making it just 1 kilometer along the highway, the 26-year-old hitched a ride with a truck, which led him off in... not far from Munich. Police lost track of him for a while, but they quickly located him again, finding out that he had neglected to take his medication for depression. I know when I'm feeling depressed, nothing cheers me up faster than exposing myself in front of a bunch of gang members and then abusing a puppy. It's called self-medicating. All right, he was checked into a psychiatric clinic for treatment. Meanwhile, the puppy he tossed to the bikers is being cared for at an animal shelter. So, there you go. See, he copes with his depression a little bit differently than I do. I don't hurt puppies. When I'm trying to make myself feel better, I just step on bunny rabbits. I believe I have some audio of that. No? You don't want to hear it? Okay, moving on. Second story we have for you today comes from Washington. I don't even know how you would obtain PCP anymore. One of those ancient drugs that died out with the 60s, I thought. But apparently, if you're 8 years old, it's incredibly easy to obtain. And that's who I really want on PCP. Little children. That would be funny to watch. Jumping through plate glass windows and shit like that. All right, two Kennedale Elementary students were hospitalized Thursday after ingesting PCP after school. The Renton Police Department got a call at about 7:45 p.m. that 2 8-year-old cousins were at Valley Medical Center after one of their parents became concerned they ingested some kind of drug. They were stabbing each other with kitchen knives and they were just laughing. And I think they were eating pennies. I knew something wasn't right with those boys. They typically don't consume my loose change. All right, yes, once in the hospital, the physicians ran several tests, and it was confirmed both children had consumed PCP. A Valley Medical Center physician told Renton Police at 9:30 p.m. that the two children were expected to be okay. We'll get them next time. Both were at home recovering on Friday. The children were taken to the hospital after the mother found an empty glass vial in one of the child's pockets. She told police the cousins had consumed the liquid that had been inside. She also said she smelled the vial and thought it smelled like PCP. How does the mother know what PCP smells like? If I were the cops, that would be the first question I would ask her. The cousins told police a 7-year-old had given them the vial. When police talked to the child, the boy said that he had found it in a playground and didn't know what it contained. Police asked the cousins about the contents of the vial and described it as full of yellow liquid. One 8-year-old told police he had poured half the bottle into his hand and then licked it. Smart. They found some sort of strange liquid. It's yellow. It smells funny. Just chug that blindly. Don't think about what you're doing, you complete fucktards. Where was the Mr. Yuck sticker on that vial? See, if this were the 80s, none of this would have happened. All right, police asked the cousins about the content of the vial, and they described it as full of yellow liquid. One 8-year-old told police he poured half the bottle onto his hand and licked it, and then the other 8-year-old said he drank the remaining liquid. Police could not confirm the exact playground where the vial was found or whether the child brought it onto school grounds. My understanding now is that the kids found it at a park and it has nothing to do with the school, said a representative of the school district. He also said the school district is waiting to hear more from police, but the district will likely follow up by mailing a letter home to parents and directing teachers to spend more time talking to students about safety and not drinking weird shit you find in a beaker lying on the ground. Holy mother of shit, I weep for the future. Terry Vickers, the Renton Police Department public information officer, said reports involving PCP are rare. Sure. There are certainly drugs everywhere. There's no question about that. PCP is not one that we see very often. Vickers said Renton police see marijuana, meth, and OxyContin much more frequently than PCP. So there you go. All right. Finally today, this is an extremely short story, but I think you may be interested in it. The story comes from Boise, Idaho. Police in Idaho think they may have solved a year-long condiment crime spree. If this is the biggest problem you people have over there in Boise, consider yourselves lucky. No one's flying planes into your buildings or setting bombs off on the street or pouring fucking mustard in your mailboxes or something. Authorities said a 74-year-old Boise woman arrested after pouring meowness in the county library's book drop box is a person of interest in at least 10 other condiment-related crimes. I shit you not, this is a real news story. Joy L. Cassidy was picked up Sunday at the library. Moments after police say she pulled through the outside drive-thru and dumped a jar of mayo in the box designated for reading materials. She has poor eyesight. Cassidy was released from jail and faces a misdemeanor charge of malicious injury to property. Boise police say Cassidy is under investigation for other cases of vandalism that started in May 2009. Now, not all of these were meowness related. Library employees have reported finding books in the drop box covered in corn syrup and also ketchup. So she uses all sorts of pourables. What a weird lady. Why didn't someone ask her, why? Why are you pouring mayonnaise into the drop box? It doesn't make any sense. That would be the first I hate when these news stories don't ask the questions that I and everyone else wants the answers to. Furthermore, I find it really interesting that Kraft is sponsoring this page. Dazzle your taste buds with our classic Catalina dressing. Good job, Kraft. Obviously, because the word mayonnaise was used in this news story, that's what triggered this ad. But I just find that interesting. Does that really work? Yes, I'm reading a news story that involves mayonnaise, but that doesn't mean I am any way in the mood to, you know, eat condiments right now or purchase them. This lady dumped mayonnaise into a public library drop box. That reminds me, we're out of cocktail sauce, and I bought all that shrimp. It's weird because whenever you read news stories that involve someone gunning down someone else, like murder, you never see ads on the side for Smith & Wesson. I'm reading about murder, so that must mean that I'm interested in gunning someone down myself. I've got a few people on a list. Be nice if there was a little web coupon I could click on. Ooh, 20% off a Glock. All right, that, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, freak, speak to me, please. Beep, blop, beep, blop, beep, blop, 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 okay, thank you for that stupid...
Hey there, Kimmy. It's your old buddy Schmitty calling back. Listen, I just figured I'd give you the call, brother. Just wanted to let you know that I love you like a brother. I'm sure you hear that a lot, but I still haven't heard back from you. Do you want to come down to Schmitty's Summer Night Spectacular? I'm giving you the invite, bro.
Why are all of my listeners complete idiots?
You, Timmy, white man, faggot Henson. It's Colin from Vancouver.
Mean idiots.
A new sideshow listener.
Ooh,
and
thank you.
I had yesterday a TMB moment mixed with a you know you're a freak moment.
Okay.
See, I was driving down First Avenue in Vancouver going to help some guy move. And I crossed these four black trucks, all filled to the brim with bikes.
Nigga trucks, the movie they tried to stop.
And driving up to the truck in the back, my first thought was, oh God, I hope the guys that are driving it are black. That will be so great. And as it turns out, every single one of them was black. So I just thought, TNB, man, TNB. Anyway, just calling in to tell you about that.
Oh, okay, thank you, I guess.
Hey, Timmy, it's Jen from Concord. I have two really quick things, so I'll get right to the point. First of all, I just listened to Sextastic Tuesday, and you were screaming so loud, ow, Chewy, ow, ow. Does anybody, like, knock on your door when you do that? I mean, you were screaming pretty loud. I know you moved, and I don't know the roommate situation, if he was there or not, but... To me, that I could just see somebody knocking on your door and saying, why are you having sex with Chewbacca? And
Joey knows what I do, obviously.
He doesn't
bother him at all anymore.
The gas station.
The weird noises that come out of here, just nothing.
And
no
I swear to God, I saw your twin walk in the door. He had curly long hair, but he looked exactly like you.
Hmm.
Probably a little younger. Anyway, I was just wondering if you had a brother. I know you have a sister, I think. Like
yes, I do have a brother, but he does not have long, curly hair.
Hey, Sam, what's up? It's Jared, longtime Sideshow member from California. I wrote you on Twitter.
Did you?
A unboxing of Tonetta's vinyl record.
Yes, I talked about that on one of the last Sideshow programs.
The limited edition one you put out. I posted it on YouTube, and I sent you a link. So check it out.
Yeah, I'm a little behind on these voicemails. I apologize. But Tonetta's album is released. Sounds
good. Hey, Tim. It's iPhone Guy Sean here.
It's not.
I just wanted to call and let you know that I've been using this name, Tone Deaf Sean, for, I don't know, what, even 2, 3 years, 4 years? I don't know. But I just wanted to let you know, this is actually my alternate ego.
Alternate ego, okay.
A lot of you listeners can probably tell by my voice that this is actually John Ratzenberger from the
Cheers
and, you know, all the Toy Story movies.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit the thing you might not know about me is I had a little cameo in Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. Look it up. It's very interesting. So thanks, Tim. We'll see you later.
All right. Thank you very much, Tone Deaf Sean.
Hey, Tim. Spiral ham fucker. Hey, first off, I want to give a big shout out to Sooty. Woo! For absolutely no reason. All right. Okay. Now, you're talking about picking your ear, and you knew a kid that would, like, eat his boogers. I knew a kid growing up named Christopher. He would pick his nose and suck his thumb at the same time. You know, like the hang loose sign? Where you stick out your pinky and your thumb.
Uh-huh.
He'd stick his thumb in his mouth and his pinky in his nose. And he had it down to a science, man.
Wow.
He did it till, like, junior high school. Fucking weirdo.
All right.
Oh,
That was it. Okay, thank you for wasting my time.
Chugu, Tim. It's Clay from Chicago.
Chugu.
That was my best Wookiee growl. I was just listening to Sextastic Tuesday, and I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed the Star Wars portion. It was hilarious. It was only improved by your lackluster Wookiee growl and makeshift Foley effects, which were excellent, by the way. love that segment.
Artist.
Always have, always will. Keep doing a great job.
All right, thank you very much. A couple more here.
Hey, Tim. Sideshow member Spider here.
Hi, Spider.
Hey, I was just listening to some back episodes of DV, and I was listening to the April 7th show, and I think you read a news story where this lady, this elderly lady, she ran out of her house covered in feces, whatever.
Okay.
And you played a clip of the Prune Brothers. You're like, yeah.
Gotta take a
she's
shit.
Like, hurry up, come on now, get here, and shit like that. And you're like, yeah, I think it would have been really hilarious when, if you were to play a clip of Bob Barker where he's like, come on down, where when she's like, come on, hurry up. I just thought that would be hilarious. I love this show.
Cool.
It's insanely hilarious to listen to when you're stoned. So,
all right.
Anyways,
it's the only time it's entertaining is when you're stoned.
Hey, dude, this is Commander Koff here, calling after a short but definitely intense jail stint.
What?
I was listening to one of your recent episodes.
Why were you in jail?
About how you have issues talking to people in the real world because
yes,
of your show.
Social skills.
Come on, man. Stick with the freaks, bro. Stick with the freaks, because you're a special breed of human being, and we all love you dearly. And those normal people, they're not going to do it after, you know, being a part of such a
wonderful
community.
Yeah, no need to talk to them, assholes.
You know, guys, give Timmy some love, because, you know, he obviously needs it if he's worried.
That's true.
Those stupid normal people.
Right, so what you're saying is I can't deal with people in the real world, so what we need to do is amongst yourselves discuss and come up with who is going to be sacrificed to me. Basically, I just need a hole to fill. So whoever is willing to be raped by me, I'd really appreciate it, because as we just heard from this guy, I cannot deal with real people in public situations, so... Let's start up the Tim Henson Charity Sex Drive right now. Email me. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-666-OGOD-IS-IN-OGOD. Don't come, though. It'll spoil the mold. Subscribe via iTunes. Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. If you are Sideshow Freaks, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, we will see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye. This one's for the freaks.
I'm a little bit drunk, but I want to show you my big, fat, nasty ass in a thong.